content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. We're going to start with a short article from AARP, the magazine, about Oscar De La Hoya, and he is 50. Boxer Oscar De La Hoya earned the nickname the Golden Boy after scoring a gold medal at the age of 19 at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona. In the years that followed, he won 10 world titles in six different weight classes before his 2009 retirement. While becoming something of a pop culture icon, among his varied pursuits, he wrote a children's book and a memoir, debuted a line of activewear, hosted a boxing reality show, and even released a Grammy-nominated Latin pop album. More recently, De La Hoya toyed with a 2020 presidential run and appeared as the zebra on The Masked Dancer in 2021. He later declared that competing on the show, he came in fourth, was the most fun he had ever had. The dance training inspired him to head back to the boxing gym, he told Hollywood Life. I'm starting to get that itch, he noted. Maybe we'll see the zebra up in the ring. Now we're going to another issue of AARP, the magazine, and continuing the article, This is 70. Fit After 70, a fast workout to stay in the game. Five basic exercises done at home can give you a solid strength-building workout, says William Yates of the YMCA in Washington, D.C. The payoff can be stronger muscles that improve bone density and help lift depression. Start with one set of 10 to 15 reps each. Use light weights at first and concentrate on good form, says Chip Gay of the Mayo Clinic Health System. Chest press. Lay on a bench or the floor. Start with the dumbbell by your chest, then push upward to full extension. You can work the arms separately or together. Biceps curl. Best to start with light weights. Let your arms hang at your side, palms facing out. Raise the dumbbells to shoulder level, bending only at your elbows. Military press. Stand or sit up straight with the dumbbells positioned by your clavicle. Then extend your arms skyward. You can work the arms separately or together. Chair squat. Stand with your feet and shoulder width apart. Bend forward slightly and slowly drop down until sitting with your thighs almost parallel to the floor. And then go slowly back up. Dumbbell rolls. Stand with your knees bent and bend forward at the hips with your back straight and parallel to the floor, if possible. Let your arms hang. Bending the elbows, raise the dumbbells to waist level. Those are not too hard. We should all give them a try. Now let's look at what not to say on your 70-plus dating profile. It's a brave new world, as long as you avoid these landmines. Oh, the innocence of a first-time online dating site user, filled with moonstruck optimism that the handsome gentleman in the photos isn't actually a professional scammer or worse, a 70-something married guy from the villages. Dating sites, aka the apps, have supplanted being fixed up by your well-meaning sister-in-law. Your success depends on how you present yourself online. Here are five faux pas to avoid. 1. Negativity. This is just a matter of accentuating the positive. Don't write what you don't want. Write what you hope to find. Lies. Don't lie about your age, weight, or marital status. Don't use photos taken during Obama's term. Here's what happens when we lie on our dating profiles. We are found out, busted, not trusted, and it is over before it starts. 3. Sexy. Don't go there unless all you really want is a sexual encounter. Avoid describing yourself as hot or looking for a good time or volunteering that Viagra is really cheap at Costco. 4. Emotionally available. This translates to, I'm lonely, so you should be ready to lock in and seal the deal just as soon as we have our first coffee date. And finally, financially comfortable. Let's not alert those scammers that you could be a potential mark. Now, the next section in this is the weight issue. Your body at 70 plus. Now, this is fairly lengthy, so we may have to continue it next time. Nothing toys with our physical or mental health quite as mercilessly as our weight. Here are some surprising truths about our changing bodies and what those changes really mean to our health and longevity. When we were younger, staying lean was a common goal. But as we move into our 70s and beyond, we need to reassess the way we think about weight. Of course, obesity remains a major risk factor at any age, increasing our chances of high blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease, sleep apnea, joint problems, and cancer. But how we think about our weight and the steps we take to control it need to be a bit more nuanced. Losing weight isn't always a smart goal. Once you're over 70, we worry about rapid weight loss, being underweight, and sarcopenia, age-related muscle loss, says Kristen DiCarlo, MD, a geriatrician who practices in the areas of endocrinology, diabetes, and metabolism at UI Health in Chicago. If you notice that you're starting to drop pounds unintentionally, be aware that this downtrend may indicate muscle loss. Some research indicates that having a bit of extra weight on you as you age may in fact be protective. Doctors use the BMI, Body Mass Index scale, as one measure of body fat to determine whether you're overweight, healthy weight, underweight, or obese. The easy way to find your BMI is to go to aarp.org/BMI. In a 2022 study, researchers found that the best BMI for health in those over 65 is 31 to 32 for women and 27 to 28 for men, higher than what's recommended for people under 65. This is referred to as the obesity paradox, and exactly why it exists isn't fully understood, says DiCarlo. Some studies show that people with higher BMIs in their 60s, 70s, and older even had a lower dementia risk than people who were of normal weight or underweight, although why is a matter of debate. Since weight loss is a common characteristic of dementia, being thinner may simply be an indicator of the disease's onset. That doesn't mean ignoring your weight is okay. Quite the opposite. Paying attention to changes to your weight and body shape, as well as making a concerted effort to hold on to as much muscle as possible, can help you stay in a healthy range, so you can live well for years to come. What's happening to my body? It's not just the scale that spins differently as we get older. Other changes to our physique are taking place. Muscle loss is accelerating. As we get older, we may become frailer. Not doing any weight training in your 50s or 60s leads to a lot of muscle mass loss that may be more noticeable now. By the time you reach your 8th or 9th decade, half your muscle mass may have vanished. Nearly one-third of adults over the age of 70 struggle with walking, getting out of a chair, or climbing stairs, according to the National Institute on Aging. Resistance training, especially exercises aimed at the larger muscle groups in the body, such as the butt and the thighs, can help a great deal. Try air squats. Stand with your back to a sturdy chair with your feet shoulder width apart and your back straight. Now bend your knees and lower your butt as if to sit on the chair. But as soon as your butt touches the seat, immediately push up using your butt and thighs to return to a standing position. Do one set of 35 repetitions and then eventually work up to 4 sets of 35. Try to do this exercise 3 times per week. Research shows that this regimen improves lower body function in older adults. You may be losing weight but gaining fat. For reasonably healthy adults, there's a natural increase in body fat until your 80s, says DiCarlo. Muscle loss plus hormonal changes and medication side effects can contribute to you carrying around more fat than you did in your younger years. It's generally believed that every pound lost is about 75% fat and 25% muscle. DiCarlo says, that's why, rather than losing weight, preventing weight gain should be the goal, says the cardiologist Carl Lavie, MD, medical director of cardiology rehabilitation and prevention at the John Ochsner Heart and Vascular Institute in New Orleans. There are some risks with losing weight, especially in elderly people in their upper 70s and 80s. You want to keep good muscle strength as you get older. Physical activity and fitness are even more important than weight now. We see a lot of octogenarians who have obesity, are struggling to lose weight, but are also very frail and have multiple medical problems. Having more muscle mass, even if your weight puts you in the obese category, is protective. Your doctor can assess you for sarcopenia and then make a recommendation from there. Weight loss can happen unexpectedly. Up to 1 in 5 older adults loses weight unintentionally, which is defined as losing 5% of one's body weight within 6 to 12 months without a known cause, such as dieting, exercise, or a medication side effect. This loss may be due to depression, anxiety, medications, or even some cancers. No matter what your starting weight, if your clothes are suddenly mysteriously baggy, flag it for your doctor. Your metabolism may be slowing. Since your 60s, your metabolism, the rate your body burns calories, has been sputtering. Your body requires fewer calories to keep your heart beating and your lungs breathing. Having less muscle, metabolically active tissue that burns more calories than fat, also contributes to a more sluggish engine. In fact, in your 90s, you may burn only 75% as many calories as your middle-aged self. Your face and your butt have become thinner. Over the past few decades, some of the fat beneath your skin, subcutaneous fat, relocated to your abdomen where it became visceral fat. Visceral fat is the type that lives deep within your belly and hugs your stomach, liver, and intestines. As a result, your butt, legs, and arms may appear thinner and your face less full. Patients talk about their skin feeling like paper, then report barely bumping themselves and getting a scrape. So we'll continue in this vein next time. For now, let's look at a sub-article here, your weight and your brain. When it comes to brain health, keeping your weight stable may be the most important task of all. Obesity, particularly when there's lots of visceral fat present, is a risk factor for faster brain aging and Alzheimer's disease, says Howard Fillett, MD, co-founder and chief science officer at the Alzheimer's Drug Discovery Foundation. Belly fat has been shown to, 1, reduce blood flow to your brain, according to a 2020 study involving brain scans of more than 17,000 people. Researchers found that as weight went up, blood flow in the brain went down, including to areas vulnerable to developing Alzheimer's. Next, shrink your brain. Using MRIs, researchers from UCLA and the University of Pittsburgh found that people who were overweight had 4% less brain volume, and their brains looked 8 years older on average than those of people who were of normal weight. People who were obese had 8% less brain volume, and brains that appeared 16 years older. It reduces your cognitive abilities. An elevated body mass index, BMI, is directly associated with decreased attention, processing speed, and fine motor speed, according to a 2013 study. And in a 2016 study of 171 people with severe obesity, more than half met the criteria for mild cognitive impairment, MCI, even though their median age was only 43. At a follow-up 12 months later, the prevalence of MCI was reduced by nearly 49% in those who had undergone weight loss surgery in the previous year. Protecting your brain means getting your weight under control. The MIND diet, a mashup of the heart-healthy Mediterranean and DASH diets, features lots of fruits and vegetables, plus lean protein and good fats like olive oil. You can still eat red meat, fast food, and sweets, just limit your intake. People who most closely adhered to this eating pattern had a 53% lower rate of Alzheimer's. Now, we've been looking at an article from AARP, The Bulletin, on the cover story, which was about scammers. This is part three, Know Your Allies. Fraud fighters are using laws, regulations, intel, and technology to help keep you protected. Here's what some are up to. The challenges of fraud in America are in plain sight. Rarely a day goes by in which each of us doesn't receive an illegal email, phone call, or text that aims to steal from us. The nation's annual fraud statistics are mind-numbing. Billions of dollars lost by consumers, trillions of fraudulent calls and texts to our phones. Less obvious are the efforts going on behind the scenes to fight what is arguably the biggest crime wave of all time. But in a wide range of interviews, we discovered a robust mix of activities focused on reducing the threats of fraud for all older Americans. Here are just a few scenes from the front. State and local initiatives. States play a dominant role in the war on fraud, and they are responding with aggressive new measures. Some examples. New York, in December, passed a law to require retail stores that sell gift cards to display warnings to customers about prepaid card scams and instructions on what to do if they spot a scam. New Jersey's 2022 Stop the Fraud Law requires retailers that sell gift cards to train employees to identify and respond to fraud. In Wyoming, a measure signed into law by Governor Mark Gordon in February would allow banks and credit unions to put a 5-day hold on a transaction they believe is part of a scam and report it to law enforcement. On the enforcement side, Connecticut Attorney General William Tong says that he and his peers in other states have been working in a bipartisan, multi-state way to take on scams across their borders. For example, a coalition of 38 state attorneys general working with the Federal Trade Commission shut down a company called Associated Community Services that had used billions of automated robocalls to dupe Americans into donating at least $110 million to fake charities. Some cities and localities are also active in taking on scams. In the greater Cleveland area, the Cuyahoga County Department of Consumer Affairs runs a scam squad that teaches the people how to spot and avoid scams, says Cheryl Harris, the agency's director. In Santa Clara County, California, the district attorney's office put together a high-tech task force to trace money stolen in scams involving Bitcoin and other cybercurrencies. It turns out that currency can be tracked to an identifiable location and, more importantly, can be retrieved. By December, the task force had recovered $1 million. It was super successful and great timing, because we were able to get money back to victims just before Christmas, said Aaron West, prosecutor for the task force. Now, before we continue with this train of thought, let's look at this side article. The bad guys. Crooks do get caught. Here are a few who are in prison for scamming older Americans. The fake goods scammer, Gareth David Long, 48, from Las Vegas. Long, a British citizen who ran a Las Vegas payment processing business, made more than $11 million by charging people for goods and services they never purchased. Federal prosecutors say he ripped off bank accounts of $375,000 unsuspecting victims. Let me do that one again. Federal prosecutors say he ripped off bank accounts of 375,000 victims, many of them retirees. Prosecutors say Long used his business to steal the personal information of victims. Long bought a ranch in Texas, three airplanes, exotic cars, and a fire truck with stolen funds. In 2020, he was sentenced to 5 years and 8 months in federal prison. The too-good-to-be-true scammer, Antonio Carlos DeGorde Buzzanelli, 61, Key Biscayne, Florida. Buzzanelli targeted victims by peddling a bogus investment scheme that promised vast returns. Prosecutors say he drained some victims' entire retirement savings. The scam raised money from investors who were lured by promises of big profits on international investments, according to court documents. Buzzanelli kept the scam going by making Ponzi-style payments to those he duped. Investors lost more than $100 million, federal court records show. In 2019, he was sentenced to 20 years in federal prison. The fake business scammer, Jennifer Shaw, 49, Salt Lake City. While starring in the reality television show The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Shaw and a partner ran a lucrative Manhattan-based scam targeting older Americans. For nearly a decade, they operated a nationwide telemarketing scheme that sold bogus business services and duped victims into fake investments, prosecutors said. Shaw pocketed millions and hatched plans to move operations to Kosovo to avoid prosecution. In 2022, she pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit wire fraud and was sentenced to 2.5 years in federal prison. And the last one here, the romance scammer, Dominique Golden, 31, from Houston. Golden played a key role in a $2.5 million romance scam that targeted older Americans by posing as love interests on dating sites. Court records show that one woman, a 76-year-old widow in Rhode Island, sent more than $660,000 to the group after meeting someone online she believed was a U.S. Army general serving in Afghanistan. The widow refinanced her home and sold property in Massachusetts in order to send the money. In 2022, Golden pleaded guilty to federal charges related to the scam. She was sentenced to 6.5 years in prison early this year. She will also forfeit luxury cars, three Rolex watches, and other jewelry. Now let's look at the federal initiatives that are going on to protect us. The federal government has an important weapon against fraud that states lack. Regulatory agencies that can establish nationwide rules for businesses and enforce them. Here are some of the activities taking place. As usage of peer-to-peer P2P money transfers apps such as Venmo, PayPal, and Zelle arises, scammers are increasingly targeting older Americans on P2P platforms, said Senator Bob Casey from Pennsylvania, chairman of the Senate Aging Committee. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau wants to force financial institutions to ensure consumers who are defrauded and that they are repaid. The Federal Communications Commission has proposed rules that instruct mobile wireless providers to apply caller ID authentication to text messaging. The rules require wireless providers to block suspicious numbers from sending texts. In the investment area, a regulatory rule that took effect last year allows financial brokers who suspect that an older client is being manipulated by a scammer to pause the transaction so firms and state authorities can investigate potential wrongdoing. That temporary hold is important because once the money has left the account, it's very difficult to recover it, notes Jerry Walsh, Senior Vice President of Investor Education at FINRA, the organization that oversees U.S. broker-dealers and that implements the changes. Regulatory agencies can also get results through the courts. Nearly 40,000 victims of fraud who used MoneyGram have been granted more than $115 million in compensation, the full amount of money lost, the U.S. Postal Inspection Service announced in February. MoneyGram, a Dallas-based money transfer company, paid the funds to settle a federal suit accusing it of, among other things, failing to protect consumers from fraud when crooks would request payment be sent via MoneyGram. And we'll continue with this next time. Now we have time for a few more money-saving tips from AARP The Bulletin. This is under the heading of Get It Free. However, right off the bat, it mentions a few fees. Travel housing. Sign up at housecarers.com, a $50 annual charge, or mindmyhouse.com for $20 annually, and stay rent-free in homes all over the globe. The arrangement may also include pet care or light housework. Books. Download the Libby app to get thousands of e-books and audiobooks from your public library. More than 90% of libraries work with the app. You can read works within the app or send them to your Kindle. Classes. Every state has a system for older residents to take college classes, if space allows. New Hampshire, for example, allows its residents 65 or older to take two classes each academic year at the University of New Hampshire. And AARP, find free close-to-home events and experiences at aarp.org/local. Now, to get it used, buying used almost always guarantees big savings. Here are some of the best approaches based on what you are looking for. Bulky items. People often turn to Facebook, Marketplace, or Craigslist to sell larger items like furniture, exercise gear, or play sets that they are no longer using. Clothing. Online thrift shops have become a great way to find pre-owned luxury clothes and accessories. For example, ThredUp was recently selling a $375 Tory brunch dress for $44. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.